Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up on the show today, Sonic Youth guitarist Lee Rinaldo and his new band, The Dust, will join me in the studio. They're going to play some songs from their great new album, Last Night on Earth. But we're going to start things off a little differently today. Joining me is Soundcheck producer Katie Bishop. Hi, Katie.
Hello, John. John, I have some music that I would like to play for you.
For me?
For you, yeah. All right. Let's hear it. How do you feel right now, John?
My feelings?
Yep.
I would say confusion.
Yep.
Followed by irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Building to murderous rage.
Okay.
How am I supposed to feel? What is that?
You know, you're supposed to be feeling relaxed, and that is some music that I recently purchased for my new rescue dog.
I think I see where you're going with
this. Yes. We've talked about this in the office. We are the new parents of a shelter dog who has a touch of separation anxiety. And John, I'd like to play for you another track that for listeners at home might be slightly disturbing.
Oh my God, you live with that?
John, that's my life now. That is my life.
What is this poor dog's name?
This is Coco. Coco is a 3-year-old Shih Tzu. And whenever we leave, and during that clip, I should just say all that was happening was that she was in her crate. That is the only thing that was going on, and that music was playing in the background. So this has become my life lately. Anytime we put her in the crate and leave, she freaks out, as you heard in the clip.
And so the calming music, inspiring irritation. And
exactly. The calming music is not working. So this has sort of inspired me to think a lot about music and dogs. And we've tried a lot of different things. We've tried playing classical music. We've tried leaving the TV on. We've tried leaving the radio on. But this has really made me think a lot about this, and so I wanted to blend my personal life and my professional life today.
Very nice.
Yes.
Working out your personal problems on the show.
Why not?
All right. So at Katie's insistence, we've invited Dr. Pamela Fisher, a veterinarian from Ohio who started a music program for animal shelters, to join us on Soundcheck. And also here in the studio, Jennifer Abrams. She's a behavioral supervisor at the New York City Animal Care and Control. Jennifer, first of all, what is life in a shelter like for the animals who live there?
We get a lot of animals every year. It's loud and quite stressful for them in an environment like that.
So when you say they're stressed out, how do you know that? What's the manifestation of stress in a dog or a cat?
Sure. We see it in a lot of different ways. A lot of them have come from homes where they were comfortable, they had people they knew, they had routines they were familiar with, and then they come into an animal shelter. And even at its best, an animal shelter is brand new people, often new people multiple times a day, a different housing arrangement. They're housed with dogs or cats they don't know and in some cases are not comfortable with. The routine is completely off. I mean, animals crave stability and consistency the same way we do. They crave control over their environment, and that is basically all taken away. And we see it in body language. We see it in the way that they respond to humans and the way they respond to other conspecifics, other dogs and cats. And we see it also in the case of dogs, a lot of times in their levels of barking.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty noisy place.
It's quite a noisy place, yes.
So when did you start playing music for these animals?
We started about 3 months ago. We got everything in place, and the music is in our 3 adoption centers in Manhattan, in Brooklyn, and in Staten Island. And we very quickly noticed a difference and received a lot of very positive feedback from the humans involved in the shelter.
So you'd never done anything like this before there?
Not in the time I've been with Animal Care and Control of New York City. I've been there about 2 years, and this is the first time we are playing music.
Were you at all skeptical when the idea was floated that, hey, let's add more sound to this already noisy place?
Personally, I wasn't, because I have been aware that studies have shown that certain types of music can calm animals and really help them in a stressful environment like this. So I was on board from the minute I heard about the project.
And Jennifer, I know your day job is behavior supervisor, but you're apparently bucking for a job as a radio engineer as well, because you went and actually recorded some sounds for us.
I did.
So this is before and after, right? This is the dogs before they're hearing the music and then after?
Yes.
All right. So this is what it would have sounded like at any of these intake centers, say, 3-4 months ago.
Yes.
All right, so as you would expect, lots of dogs barking, mm-hmm. etc.
Right.
So how often do they hear the music, and how long does it take before you hear results?
Well, our music is played every day from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m., and it
wow.
plays throughout the day. And then they have from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. a nice 8-hour break where it's quieter in the care center in general, and they can rest mm-hmm. and get a break from that particular stimulus. But we notice a difference almost immediately. I mean, as soon as the music comes on in the morning, they perk up, they listen to it, and then throughout the day, they seem to get aroused less often, they reach lower arousal levels, and they calm more quickly. They still, they still bark.
Right,
and
they're still dogs.
and for the cats as well, and just the rooms in general are much calmer when the music is playing.
All right, so this next clip that you recorded, this is with the music
mm-hmm.
playing. So that is the sound of one of the New York City Animal Care and Control Centers where Jennifer Abrams works. That's with this music playing. I'm not going to ask you to say how much quieter it is. I guess that's a hard thing to put into percentages. But
right.
is it noticeable to you, to the rest of the staff?
It is. And we haven't done any decibel measuring, so
right.
I can't give specific numbers. But I can say that there was some skepticism from some other people from the beginning. There were other, staff members and people who either didn't really that's not really their style of music, or the same thing. They said, more noise in
right.
an already noisy facility. I don't know about this. But pretty much across the board, everyone that was a skeptic has been made a believer. And anyone that, was for it in the beginning, that it's been reinforced that this is a really great thing for our residents. For people and for animals, it's calming, it's soothing. Again, they seem to calm faster. The cats have something that is a different stimulus from the dogs barking. They kind of,
So the
really
noisy neighbors
does.
Are not quite so noisy for the cats.
Absolutely. And
right.
and for the people too. I have some workers that have been there for a long time, animal care officers who day in and day out take care of these mm-hmm. animals. And they have said that it calms them as well. So the entire interaction, human, dog, cat, is much calmer, more positive as a result of this.
All right. Jennifer Abrams from New York City Animal Care and Control. And let's talk to Dr. Pamela Fisher, the veterinarian based in Canton, Ohio, and founder of the Rescue Animal MP3 Project. Pamela, when and why did you start this project?
I thought about the project about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I wanted to enrich my local pound and humane society. I noticed the level of barking is just deafening at times, and the animals, just huddled back in their cages shaking. And I have a specialty practice. I'm a holistic veterinarian. I use calming music and healing music in my practice. I've been using that for many years. And I tried to figure out, what could I do to help these animals? You know, they just were so scared. So I came up with the idea of music. So I reached out to musicians and producers that actually had pet CDs, and they touted them as calming CDs. I was able to get them to donate their music. And
So if you're getting the music for free, you're able to give it to the shelters for free as well?
Yes. The whole premise of the idea was to make it easy for shelters, because they don't have time or money,
right,
in general. So the music is donated. It's the 30 hours of different types of music is put on an MP3 player, and all the chords are donated to the shelters.
Uh-huh. So, Jennifer, when you got this MP3 player, it's all loaded, it's ready to go. All you have to do is buy a speaker.
Yeah, it was absolutely remarkable how much Dr. Pam gave us and how helpful it was. We got the MP3 player, we got the timers, we got the cord. We just had to have the speaker system, which we did have to install, but we needed it anyway.
So Pamela, how did you begin in your own practice to think that music could in fact have an impact on dogs and cats, when, you know, there's a lot of thinking that maybe dogs don't hear music as anything other than noise?
Well, that's an excellent question. In my specialty practice, I do different modalities of healing, and the vibration of music has been shown in scientific studies and testimonials and things like that. The vibration of music has been shown to help people and animals heal. It's been used from ancient time all the way up to the present.
For people, sure. Yeah.
Right, for people.
We actually, from your website, grabbed a couple of samples of some of the music that you use in the project. This is some of what you would hear in the various shelters around the country that are using the Rescue Animal MP3 project. All right, just some of the sounds that Dr. Pamela Fisher has put together for her Rescue Animal MP3 project. You can find a link on our website at soundcheck.org. Pamela's with us on the line from Canton, Ohio. Jennifer Abrams from New York City's own Animal Care and Control with me here in the studio. Jennifer, I'm assuming those sound familiar?
They do.
Do you get tired of hearing the same things over and over again?
I don't. I mean, it's nice and calming and soothing, but it's my kind of music.
Okay.
Funny story, the one of the shelters sent back a follow-up, and it said they had 70% less barking. And they said, is there any way to change it from one song? So I had mistakenly programmed the MP3 player just to repeat one song over and over again. And they still got 70% calmer and 70% less barking. I thought they could have contacted me sooner than a couple months after they installed it. But
poor animals and people sort of lulled into a stupor.
It decreased the barking, and, you know.
So then you're sending this stuff to the shelters and then asking them for kind of surveys, you know, follow-ups afterwards to find out how they're doing.
Yes.
And Jennifer, have you guys done a follow-up survey with Dr. Pamela Fisher yet?
We're in the process of doing that now.
And
I'm hoping this will count as part of the follow-up feedback.
Well, absolutely. You know, have you found that, you know, some types of music, you know, I would think the cats would find the stuff with the bird song really distracting. But, I mean, what's your experience been?
Sure. I think that some of the music, particularly with those nature sounds in it, does sometimes make the cats a little bit more vocal. They seem to come to the front of the kennel and they're a little more interested in interacting with people, whereas some of the other songs help to relax them, help them sleep, I think. I mean, they do spend an awful lot of time sleeping anyway.
They are cats, after
when
all.
when they can. And equally, I mean, I do think that the different music that is on this MP3 player does have slightly different, elicit slightly different responses from the dogs and cats, in that some of the music is a little slightly more stimulating while still being more calming than other types of music, which have been found to have the opposite effect and make them much more active.
Well, it's great to have both of you with your respective viewpoints of this. Let me thank Jennifer Abrams, Behavior Supervisor at the Animal Care and Control of New York City, Dr. Pamela Fisher, the founder of the Rescue Animal MP3 Project in Canton, Ohio. Pamela, Jennifer, thank you both for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Dog lovers, don't go away, because up next I'll ask a sound researcher what dogs can actually hear and how music can have an impact on our pets. And we want to hear from you. What's your experience with music and pets been? You can leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612 or leave a comment on our website, soundcheck.org. Also coming up later, a live performance from Sonic Youth guitarist Lee Rinaldo and his new band, The Dust. This is Soundcheck.
I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're talking today about pets, mostly dogs, and music. And as we just heard, the New York City Animal Care and Control has recently introduced a music program into their shelters, and it appears to be having a positive effect. Joining me on Soundcheck now is Joshua Leeds. He's a psychoacoustician and the founder of Through a Dog's Ear and Through a Cat's Ear, two music therapy programs targeted at domestic animals. I'll leave it to you to figure out which is for which. Hi, Joshua. Welcome back.
Hello there, John. I'm so pleased to be speaking with you.
So, I said psychoacoustician. Psychoacoustics is a field of study that is specific to humans, how we perceive sound. How do you apply that to cats and dogs?
Well, I actually, one of the wonderful things about my immersion over the last 10 years into what's taking place on an auditory level with dogs and cats has been the discovery of the field of bioacoustics, which is the cousin of psychoacoustics. Bioacoustics is traditionally about how animals produce and perceive sound. But there's also a part of bioacoustics which is about how it is that dogs and cats and all animals perceive human-made sound or noise. So for me to be able to take the human perception of sound and then to start to interplay that with the way that animals are perceiving our human-made noises has really been an extraordinary opportunity to work cross-species in my understanding of how do we bottom line have a positive effect on the nervous system, whether regardless of hair count.
I like that. How do we, you know, how do we take the at least anecdotal evidence that we just heard from, you know, Animal Care and Control here in New York, where they use this MP3 player full of these new age tunes, and it really seems to take a very loud, noisy kennel full of dogs and calm them down. Do you have an explanation for how that could work?
Yes, I do. I'd like to say that it's an interesting thing when I review all of the clinical data that has been done on the study of the effect of music primarily on animals. It's a small canon of research. I just recently was presenting to a bunch of veterinarians in Colorado, and so I compiled a list. And truthfully, it was less than 10 studies over the course of the last 10 or 15 years.
Mm.
So the truth is that there's interest in it, but we all hold a different piece of the puzzle as to how and why it is that music and sound has an effect on animals. And let's talk about dogs and cats right now. Let's keep it to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It seems to me that whether or not dogs can perceive a sequence of tones, which or cats can, is almost immaterial. I think that really what is taking place is that this is about the perception of vibration. And it's not about whether or not they can remember a melody. It's not about whether or not they like a piano more than their trumpet. I think that it really comes down to the same primary elements that affect human beings, which is tone and tempo and pattern identification.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ultimately when you have animals, regardless of whether or not they're two-legged or four-legged, who have a stressed nervous system, their ability to be able to take in sensory data is diminished.
So when you say pattern, it's better for a stressed-out animal, as you say, whether two-legged or four-legged, if the pattern is easily identified on hearing again, and therefore you're looking for less complex forms of music, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I come from the study of the effect of sound on humans from a neurodevelopmental vantage point. I studied the work deeply of Alfred Tomatis, who is a French ear, nose, and throat doctor who passed about 10 or 12 years ago. And he really set down the context in which modern sound therapies are built, primarily the sound therapies that are used for children and for adults in the autistic spectrum or ADD, ADHD, pervasive developmental delays. Bottom line, what he was coming to was that sound is a nutrient for the nervous system, and that pattern identification, our ability to be either in active listening or in passive hearing, is something that really makes a tremendous amount of difference on the nervous system. When I first started to do this study 9 years ago with dogs, I found that the dogs reacted in the same way as the humans did, that if you have a stressed-out nervous system, a simpler, less complex diet of sound goes a long way.
Mm. So you actually have taken, in this example, Bach's Prelude in C from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, and done what to it? Just kind of simplified it?
Yes, what we did was we work within the classical repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons, and one of them is because there are easily identified patterns in a lot of classical music. And so I select music, and what I will do as somebody who has been through conservatory training myself is I work in arrangement and orchestration. I've chosen to work with one instrument, being the piano, because it's easier on the nervous system to decipher one instrument than it is three instruments or five instruments.
Right. Let's hear this arrangement of the Bach Prelude in C from the project called Through a Dog's Ear.
Thank you.
A little bit of Bach's familiar Prelude in C from the Well-Tempered Clavier in an arrangement from the project called Through a Dog's Ear, a music therapy program devised by Joshua Leeds, psychoacoustician, sound researcher, and music producer, with the pianist Lisa Spector. You can find a link to Through a Dog's Ear at our website, soundcheck.org. Joshua's on the line with us, and So you really have taken that piece and you sort of de-arpeggiated those chords. You know, the what was a sequence of individual notes is now a block of chords, which gives you what more space, more silence.
Yes, because we believe that the intervals between the notes themselves sometimes are more important than the actual notes themselves. It also is just easier on the ear. I mean, as that piece continues, then it becomes more and more familiar in its arrangement.
Mm.
One of the things that I did with that particular signature piece of music was to also progressively slow it down. So one of the things that takes place when this is played in a canine household is, you know, we'll get emails from people that are saying, God, my dog is out solid, but I can't stay awake.
So you talked before about the difference between active listening and passive hearing. What's the intent here is passive hearing, right?
Yes, absolutely. And when Bach was writing for the church, then he knew that he needed to start off with a fast allegro kind of music for the first movement of a piece that he was writing, and then he knew that he could go into an adagio maybe, and maybe into then a lento very slow, and then he needed to bring it back up again to be able to keep people awake.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't terming it in terms of active listening or passive hearing. That's more of a Tomatis vantage point.
Is that French researcher that you were talking about?
Yeah, the French ear, nose, and throat doctor,
right,
who created the Tomatis method, which is the bedrock of modern sound therapies that, as I was mentioning, is used in neurodevelopmental clinics throughout Europe and to a limited amount, unfortunately, here in America due to the FDA.
You mean that it hasn't received government approval and so can't be used in a sort of organized way?
Correct.
Your mention of the FDA sort of brings up an interesting question, which is that of skepticism. I mean, where are we scientifically with this kind of study of bioacoustics, as you call it?
Well, bioacoustics, in the most traditional vantage point, is a highly regarded field of study.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of science around that in relationship to how does a warbler produce the sounds that it does.
Right.
What is the effect of the low frequencies of that the elephants hear, that kind of thing. A more new segment of this field is literally about what happens with you, what is the effect of the human soundscape on our animal friends.
Right.
And research there is new.
And there has been some research on, you know, our sort of inadvertent, you know, the sounds of machinery and construction noise in forests and stuff. You're talking about intentional human sound. We are, you know, we are putting the radio on when we leave our houses because we feel that our dogs and cats like to have that oral company. But then there's another sort of school of thought that says animals don't know what that is. It's just more noise to them. So, you know, how much study has there been of, you know, that sort of us be intentionally giving our sounds, our music to these animals?
Very little.
Mm.
I mean, here's what I perceive is taking place. We love our animals. The pharmaceutical companies have put out a large budget to make sure that we view our domestic animals as part of our families. And so consequently, then they'll say, well, if you would do this for your children, then of course you would do X, Y, Z, fill in the blanks for your animals, for your cats and your dogs. And so we have witnessed this tremendous shift of the way, you know, Lassie used to be kept in the backyard. Now, you know, Fido is right up at the dinner table and in many instances eating more expensive food than most people in the world are able to provide for their own children.
Mm.
Now, that's a whole conversation all into itself.
Yeah.
But is that here in America, we highly regard our domestic animals. And here's the rub. We get these beautiful sentient beings, and then we bring them into our environment, and we go, welcome to my home, now adapt. And then what ends up happening is you've got these animals that over thousands of years have become so symbiotically entwined with the human nervous system that they do their best to do it. But the truth of the matter is, and as somebody who used to live in New York and as somebody who loves New York, New York is a primary example of a sensory overload that the humans have the techniques and the stress reduction abilities to be able to know when we're over the top and what we need to do about it.
Yeah.
And the animals don't.
So this music is an effort to kind of clear out some sonic space for dogs.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's called Through a Dog's Ear, a music therapy program. There is a companion program for cats as well. Joshua Leeds, the psychoacoustician, is the founder, and you can find a link to the Through a Dog's Ear website on our page at soundcheck.org. Joshua, always a pleasure to talk with you. It's really fascinating stuff. I do hope that there will be more studies done, because it would be great to have some science to back up all of the anecdotal stories that we're hearing. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
All right, Soundcheck listeners and pet owners, time to bring back Katie Bishop, our Soundcheck producer, whose trials and travails with her rescue dog Coco inspired the segments that we've just heard. You hear anything in there that you're going to try and put into practice?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to keep trying the classical music, and I really liked the idea of very simple, slow music, which is sort of like what we tried, but maybe without all the bells and literal whistles.
All right, so Soundcheck listeners, what is your experience of music and pets? Are there certain types of music that will set your dog to baying and howling? Are there other types of music that'll put him or her to sleep? Call us and leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612 or leave your comment on the website, soundcheck.org. And Katie, I'm sure there are lots of people out there, maybe not with quite the...
God, I hope not.
the volume that little Coco produces. But
she's small, but she's mighty.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
It's always nice to have a rescue dog in the house. Again, Soundcheck listeners, let us know what you think, what your experience has been, soundcheck.org, or leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612.